Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode and another year of Story Break.
Are we going to do this for the whole year?
No.
Do just, what just for the whole year?
This Story Break? I just want to make sure that before we say welcome to a new year,
this Story Break, like this episode, we're going to work on it a whole year.
We're committed to a whole year of Story Break starting from today, right?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That's right. You heard it here first. 52 episodes coming your way this year.
I'll commit for another 3 months.
Okay. At least
Will's
3 months.
Will's contract is up.
I got to re-up.
This is a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and my New Year's resolution is to be a screenwriter. Still, I hope.
I'm so glad that you two said your names, because I can't see either of you. Where are you guys?
Oh,
where am I? Well, my name's Matt Arnold, and I hope there's no monsters right next to me.
We have to do this one blindfolded.
Okay.
The episode?
All right, so here's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. We came back in. We talked about our New Year's. We talked about the little break that we had. And we talked about the movies we saw.
So many hot takes.
So many hot takes.
Too hot for air.
Too hot for this podcast. a noticeable exception in all of our viewing habits is that we learned that all three of us had not seen Bird Box. But not only not seen Bird Box, did not see any trailers. What do you know?
Let's go around. What do you know
about Bird Box? Will, why don't you start?
What I know about Bird Box is that Sandra Bullock's in it.
Yep.
And it's a spooky horror movie like A Quiet Place. And she wears a blindfold because I believe there are monsters that if you look at them, you go crazy and kill yourself.
Okay. I didn't even have that. All I got was Sandra Bullock is in there. And that is, and she wears a blindfold. And that there's someone else, some kind of kid.
She has two kids. One is named Boy and one is named Girl. I do think I remember seeing that through the memes, because there's also been a lot of memes about this movie.
There's been a lot of memes.
The only things I know are those memes, which have been very funny, even not knowing Bird Box. I've seen Sandra Bullock blindfolded. I knew she had kids. I didn't know how many kids. I've seen the first 4 to 5 seconds of the trailer on Netflix as I scroll past it to get to Frasier, which is which is essentially Sandra Bullock like looking around blindfolded, like, yeah! And then that's it. And then she says, like, be quiet, and I can't see them or something. And then I know that some people are saying that there's a conspiracy that maybe Netflix like just like bought all these meme generation or something. Was something
how do I get
Reddit.
That job, by the way, being the memester for Netflix?
And then a lot of people watched it. That's essentially all I know
according
about it.
According to Netflix,
one third of their user base watched it, which
statistically one of us should have watched it.
I know. Hey, yeah.
But no
proof.
This is the proof right here that it's a conspiracy.
Yeah. The sample size of three. So today we are going to attempt to tackle.
What
Bird
do you guys
Box.
Think? Bird Box.
What
so
the
we're
fuck
gonna
is
do
it called Bird Box. Why is it not called like See No Evil? That's a good name.
I think there is a movie called See No Evil.
Yeah, it's probably.
This is why I feel like this, because this isn't
and
about.
And by the way, I'm doing this one blindfolded.
All right, okay. Let's do it. Hold on. Let's pause because I'm going to put on a blindfold too. Hold
we're
on.
We're going to put on blindfolds.
Yeah, oh my god.
Where's the mic?
Shit.
Right
there. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So to be clear, all three of us are now blindfolded.
Yeah.
To better mirror the experience
of Sandra Bullock in the movie we didn't watch.
A thought occurred to me, Freddie. Yeah. How are we going to know when an hour is up?
Fuck, you're right. Sandra Bullock wouldn't know.
The clock is the monster, and Freddie will occasionally.
I'm going to grope around for my. Freddie, get your. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I got it.
We got to time it.
How are you going to do it? Do you have a kitchen timer?
I'm going to Siri it.
Are you
Siri's going to help us. Siri is our guide. Siri, set alarm 1 hour.
Setting. The alarm is set for 2:20 p.m.
Okay. All right. We're ready to go.
So clearly, by the way, if they had Siri, that definitely makes your life easier in a blindfold environment. I'm getting that sense right now.
My first thought was that because I don't know anything about the movies. I don't know why they're in a forest, but I definitely was like, if I had to be blindfolded, the last place I'd want to be is in a forest.
There's
just a lot of trees. I feel like it'd be very easy to lose your way. We're not throwing shade on anybody who worked on Bird Box because, again, we have not seen it.
We have nothing to base our opinion.
You know what's great? By being blindfolded, I feel like all of my story senses are heightened.
We need to do this more often, clearly.
I can tune out all the visual distractions in my field and just go by my story gut. All right. So I believe the concept, because they were like, it's like A Quiet Place, but you can't
see.
But it's not that you can't see. You can think if
willingly.
You couldn't see, you wouldn't be wearing a blindfold.
Yeah.
So
you're
it's
willingly.
Like, if you look at the monsters, you go crazy, is I believe the idea. It's like a Lovecraft type
thing. Yeah, it's very Cthulhu-esque.
Yeah. So
it's like the opposite of Blink, because the Doctor Who Blink is you have to keep your eyes on the monsters.
You're right.
Otherwise, they attack you. This is like if you see them, you go crazy.
Yeah.
Now, do they, like, if they're next to you, assuming they actually have a body,
yeah,
whatever this monster is, we're saying that monster, if you see it, the monster is deadly if you see it. So,
well, this seems like the no-brainer, though. That's right, Matt, that's a problem, right? Because it's like if you just have to not look at it, hey, guess what, idiot? If I knew taking this blindfold off means I have to just, well, I'll die.
What happens? I know there's a boat. There's a scene in a boat or something. What happens if, like, your kid falls in the water?
His fucking problem.
Well, that would essentially, if your response to somebody dying is who cares, that takes the stakes out of any movie.
No. But I'm saying, like, okay, let's say, okay, look, because, by the way, Matt, people do go through this. It's called people who are blind. Like, what happens if their kid falls in water? I don't know. They figure it out.
Well, yeah. So that's the excitement, is watching Sandra Bullock try to save her kid.
Pretend to be blind.
And also, no, it's not like if somebody fell out of a boat into the water, a blind person would, like, yes, they'd try to figure it out, but they sure wish they could see.
They probably wouldn't be on the boat in the first place, huh?
Okay.
Wait, this is a monster movie. So let's talk about the monster, because that's going to be important. Because blindfold is only there because of this monster. My big question with the actual movie is, like, okay, if you see the monster, it drives you crazy. That's one thing. But is the monster deadly in itself?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, if the monster is right next to you,
right,
like, would it kill you? Like, does it also have claws?
Maybe we can dig out some clues from this.
Yeah.
This is like Story Break Forensics. Like, or the fingerprints of this movie.
CSI. hey, Will, enhance.
Enhance. So I read an article on Slash Film about a deleted scene from this movie.
Whoa, boy, you read a lot of shit about a movie you didn't watch.
So it was pretty hard to avoid Bird Box on my blogs. They were talking about how there was a scene where they showed the monster and then they cut it out because it was too stupid. But the monster was like, they said it was like a long, they said it looked like a long baby.
So like a
like it was like
man.
A man-sized baby with like a long head or something like that.
It was trying to be like a weird, like, Slender Man grotesque,
yeah, like
human
a
shape
slender thing. Baby man. And then Sandra Bullock kept laughing at it when she saw it, and they were like, "This is a bad idea. We shouldn't show." But I think I gotta feel like the monsters attack you. Like, that's because otherwise, like,
yeah, because then why would
there's
you keep
plenty
the
of stuff
on?
Out there that if I see it, I'll go insane. Am I right? Like every Marvel movie.
Oh boy,
am I right?
Am I right?
Hey. Okay. Too many heroes in that Infinity War. How am I supposed to keep track of them all?
Cha-cha-cha.
What is this, Smash Brothers?
Okay.
But Matt, your point is well taken, which is in order for the blindfold to actually be an impediment and not just have it be a binary of see it or not see it.
No, because
they
you
need
could
to be
do
monsters.
But you could, yes, but I'm just trying to, I don't care what Bird Box's monster is, because I don't think the solution's going to be how close can we get to the story of Bird Box.
No.
Because, like, again, in Doctor Who with the angels, like, they are a more, right, they're kind of a more abstract monster to a degree. They don't, like, kill you. Then they kind of start doing that, and then it sucked more. Like, at first, they caught you, and then you got traveled back in time or whatever. So you could definitely do a monster that is, like, it's kind of like a beast, and that's, like, it's, like, natural. It's, like, if it sees eyes or whatever, it, you know, takes over your body or sends you away or eats you or can take your energy or whatever it is. Like, you can definitely do something that doesn't attack you, that you need to see it for it to hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly. But what would drive you to take your blindfold off?
Okay.
Because it can't always just be your daughter fell
into
the
fucking
ocean.
Sure, but I'm not concerned about
ocean.
That. To me, that's pretty easy. It's like, in terms of taking your blindfold off, it's just a bunch of situations where you'd want to see.
But that's not, like, interesting then. It's not about, it's just an arbitrary thing where it's just arbitrary. That it's
my
just
point
like,
is, like, in
here.
Quiet Place, the biggest thing is not, like, why would you make noise? Like, you're gonna, like, it's hard to not make noise doing stuff. It's going to be hard to not want to see things when things are happening. Like, if you had to drive a car or you were going on a boat or you heard something coming at you, you'd want to look. So
or if, you're, like, or if, you're, if you're walking or there's a lot of head height branches.
Like, I want to take the blindfold off right now. So I don't think it's that hard to set up, like, why you
I mean,
want to take
okay,
the blindfold
all right,
off.
All right. I think, okay, let's zero in a little bit. Because I see what you're saying, because it's like, okay, what does the monster want is essentially what you're asking, right? Like, is the monster hunting people? Is the monster just, does it just exist?
Yeah.
Is it just out doing stuff? Like, is it doing weird, incomprehensible monster stuff? That's a good question. I'm not trying to knock that question. In terms of the other thing, like This kind of takes me back to our Hellstorm days when we were working on the Killer Hail movie, where the first problem with doing a Killer Hail movie is like, well, they just go inside, right? And then there's like, how big is this hail? If you can't, if you're in a basement, you're going to be fine, right? So like the people in Bird Box, like if you're inside, you're going to be okay, assuming that the monsters don't come inside, right? Like you're in a room, you're in a room with no windows and, you know, you're all right. But then again, like you need food. So you got to go out and get your food. If you're trying to hole up, someone could be sick and you're trying to get them to a doctor.
Right.
You're
trying
to, or like, you know, or if the bad guys are like destroying the city or something like that, you're also trying to escape them. But I do see what you mean where it's like, I feel like that kind of doubles down on what the, because you know what, here's how it's different from the Quiet Place monsters, is in the Quiet Place, they're just scary monsters that are gonna fucking eat you, right?
Yes, correct.
And then, but it's just the thing there, so that what you're afraid of is getting eaten, right?
Yes.
And then, but it's not, so, but it's like, it's not like the act of being heard by you is how you die.
Yes. Right.
In this one, what is scary about them is the idea that if you see them, you'll go crazy. So it's not like, I don't want to, it feels like I kind of, not double mumbo jumbo, but it's like, focus on one thing to be the scary part of the movie. It's like, the scary, that has to be the scary thing,
yes.
Not that you're going to get eaten by the monster.
Again, that's why, whenever you do like a Medusa scene, if there's Medusa doesn't also like attack you. Like usually, it's like you see Medusa and you turn to stone. So like you try to hide from Medusa and you can't see her.
Yeah, it's not like you're like, oh, I'm so scared that Medusa's going to stab me with a sword.
Yeah, you're not having like a sword fight with Medusa while blind and being like, I gotta.
Does he have a sword fight with Medusa? How does that work?
I don't know. He holds up a mirror to
her.
He
holds up, yeah, exactly. He holds up the mirror and walks up to her and slices that head off. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't. Yeah. But it's not like they. It's not like she pulls out double pistols and they have a John Woo fight.
She doesn't do, she doesn't become like fucking Darth Maul and have like a dual-bladed lightsaber and have a whole fight there. No, you're correct.
Yeah.
So inherently then, just the baseline level of monster. You see it, you go crazy. Oh boy, don't want to go crazy. Gotta keep this blindfold on, but I got chores to do.
Because otherwise those monsters would just kind of like run at you and like be like, peek, and like pull up your blindfold. Be like,
got ya. That's true. But
you know, true enough.
But how can the monsters get the second layer of human blindfolds, aka my eyelids?
Eyelids. Okay. Let's talk about America's sweetheart, Sandra Bullock.
Loved her in Speed.
Let's talk about one of the national treasures.
I believe Julia Roberts is America's sweetheart.
Okay, well
Arnold.
That will be a multi-hour debate that we'll have after this episode.
All right, I'll end the debate right here. Was Sandra Bullock in a movie called America's Sweethearts?
I didn't know that Julia Roberts was.
Well, fucking lawyer.
Sandra Bullock doesn't have to be in a movie called America's Sweetheart to be that. So,
dang guys.
Okay,
Speed. If this is Speed 4?
What if it was Speed?
What if this is a
Bird
Speed
Box,
cool?
And it's like, if you look at the speedometer...
All right, that's another clue.
Why is it called Bird Box?
Why the fuck is it called Bird Box?
Oh, well, birds, you never know where they are.
Unless you put them in a box, a cage for the bird.
Like, you know, if it was like these creatures are like, if it was like, this is a weird, like donkey type creature. If you look at it, you go crazy. Like I would take my blindfold off and look up, but like, there's no place you can look that there can't be a bird.
What if it's a bird? If you look at the bird, you go crazy. It's because a fucked up bird.
Because a bird could be anywhere.
It's true.
A bird can be on the ground or in the sky.
Inside
both,
or outside.
Both places a bird could
be.
It's
360 coverage. Birds have 360 spatial degree coverage.
Bird box.
Maybe that's a metaphor for Earth, because Earth in a way is just
like
a big
old box of birds. We thought the birds were... We thought we had caged the birds,
but in fact,
we were caged in with the birds. None of you understand. You're not in this. I'm not in this bird box with you. You're in this bird box with me.
Why? Because also, like, you can't get away from them even if you like swim across the. If you're in the ocean, like, yo, seagulls and shit. They fly.
What if every bird? Here's what it is: the sight of any bird suddenly makes it so that you will go crazy.
Or you become a bird.
They think that people have just gone insane, but it's real. Oh! Here's what really has happened. This is your second to third act twist, is that really what's happened is that the bird has taken over your consciousness. So the bird is in. So you're watching a bird trapped in a human body. That's why the person goes crazy,
dude.
And the box is your
own. And then maybe you're in the bird.
You're
Maybe it's like a body swap.
Okay, that's very good, because what happens is this is. I'm not even kidding. This is very good, because what happens is when people see them, they like jump off roofs and kill themselves because they're birds.
But they're just birds trying to fly.
They're just a bird.
They're just a bird in your head.
And they're like, yeah, I can fly. Like, oh shit, what this big body? I mean, I gotta get out of here. And they jump and they die.
Jump and they die.
And like, you look at this thing, you just die. People start going crazy. They start banging their heads against walls. They running start
into glass
seeds.
Windows.
They start
worms.
Pooping without any control of their body. They start doing all stuff birds do. They start eating five times their weight. And what bird facts do you guys know?
It sounds like you know a lot.
Yeah,
man.
A lot of bird.
You
facts
know a lot of bird stuff.
Of bird facts.
And by the way, and we know that these are all natural bird facts because Matt doesn't have Wikipedia to help him.
Yeah,
this is entirely off the dome, y'all. Okay.
So you're saying that, Matt, in this world, the sight of a bird causes your consciousness to swap with that bird.
Don't give me all the credit. I think I came up with the bird thing. Will came up with the body with the bird conscience thing.
All right, guys. I just had to shudder because I realized none of us can check how much time we have left. So now I'm living.
No, it's very good. That's why this.
Living in mortal fear that the beeper is about to go, so we need to fucking.
No, you can't ask Siri.
And you can't look, and you can't look
can't
either.
Look.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you look, you might get your brain transferred by a bird.
I might turn into a bird.
There might be a bird.
Let's stick with this.
We're sticking with this. This is good.
This is great.
So one day, an asteroid flies across the Earth, and the cosmic radiation makes it so when birds and people look at each other,
so like New York is gone instantly. Everyone's pigeons.
Okay, yeah. Like you see a guy feeding his pigeons, right? And then like that's the opening scene, right?
Oh, yeah.
The opening scene is Sandra Bullock's son is feeding pigeons on the roof, and she's like, and you know,
No,
hold on, let me finish. And then the thing happens, and then the kid goes crazy and jumps off the roof, and they're like, but my son was like, why did he jump off this roof?
One step
and then
better.
Hold on. And everyone flees the city because all this crazy shit is happening. I have the movie figured out. She runs off into the fucking forest, right? And she's hiding with her
but
family.
But what's in the forest?
No, just hold on. More birds. I know. But here's what happens. Freddie.
Yeah.
She realizes what's going on with the birds, and then she realizes that her son is trapped in a bird's body back
she
in
has
New
to
York
find
City
the bird.
In the bird box.
She has to find the bird in the bird box.
It's in the because it's in the pigeon coop.
It's in the pigeon coop. Okay, that's very good.
Oh my God.
Here's how you do that beginning, though. Yeah. Is that because you can't just do the beginning is this kid, you find out Sandra Bullock's son. So I guess she has three kids.
Ted Bullock.
And Ted Bullock is hanging out with his friend who's, what's this? Blind. And they're sitting at the top of a building in New York City, and they have one of those pigeon cages.
Yep, they're pigeons.
And he's hanging out with his blind friend, and they're just like, oh, they're just saying nice stuff. And the guy's like, you know, the birds have been acting weird. I can hear them. They're acting weird. He's like, oh, man, don't worry.
I don't know if I want to do some weird mystical blind guy stuff.
No, it's not mystical blind guy. It's a blind kid.
He's attuned to the animals because he's blind.
You're over-analyzing it. It's a blind kid. You know what, Will? If you're going to do a movie about blindness, you should have a blind kid in.
So I'm not saying don't have a blind kid. I'm just saying don't make it like animal psychic.
No,
or something.
It's not animal psychic. He hears, he's like, yo, the birds are acting crazy. He's like, dude, whatever. And he opens up the cage, and the guy looks at his bird, and he fucking all of a sudden walks off the roof. And the blind kid's like, yo, what happened? Where are you? Because you need to cinematically show that the kid saw the bird and they didn't. And then, like, that kid is also the one person who knows what happened.
He's part of the clue.
Yeah.
And she's taking care of him. Anyways, but yes, I like the idea that
I love the idea that Sandra Bullock needs to find the pigeon that is her son.
Yeah, that's to me. Yes.
Actually, this changes this. I'm just saying this changes the game immensely. So I'm trying to understand what you're saying. It's not that the birds take over our body. You're saying that we swap.
What I'm saying. Where do you go?
Yeah, where do you go, Matt?
Where do you go, Matt?
But this is okay. This
Matt,
is
you fucking dead eye a parrot.
Yeah,
what happens
I was thinking
then?
Like the bird. I was thinking,
well,
like,
what happens to the bird? Is the bird just dropped dead after it takes over your?
Let me walk through this because what I was thinking was kind of like just like more like parasitic, like the bird, like if it's like Ender's Game or whatever, where it's like the birds all have like a shared consciousness, or whatever. It's like you get taken over and
what
your bird.
What the fuck are you talking? Shared consciousness?
Like insects, like not sure, but you know, like a hive mind. But anyways, what I was saying is like I imagine that they just took over because this is. you guys have not thought this through, because this is my question then. What happens to the bird that's a person? Are those people flying around trying to find human bodies to then flop themselves into?
Holy shit, you're right.
What are the bird humans doing?
The bird humans are just in bird bodies now.
Yeah, they're just stuck. It's a prison.
It's a one-shot deal.
One shot.
You don't get to swap into someone else's body once you're a bird.
But what are they doing? Because those birds wouldn't be dangerous.
They're fucking like trying to buy a burger, but they can't because they got bird arms and no money.
And you know what else? Yeah. Guess who is ironically murdering all the birds once they figure it out?
Okay.
Is the humans, right?
Okay.
Not realizing that they are killing all of their...
Oh, so it's a little bit like they're killing the birds that... Wait, so, okay, so there are some, the birds that are already humans aren't the bad birds because
they
can't
that's kind of weird because then it's like, are they looking at some birds like, oh, hold up, I looked at this bird and I didn't become a bird. This weird. I'll kill it.
Oh, shit, that's true. Yeah, that's a bit of a plot point. That's a bit of a thing. Maybe the body swap is stupid. But I like the idea that her son is like, it's like a Finding Nemo. You know how Nemo's in the fishbowl and then like he's got to go get him? I like that he's a little
box.
He's a bird in this little box. He's in a bird box. I solved it.
I know. It does so neatly wrap up.
No, you
so
know
what?
I've been reading Lost in Math by Sabine Hossfelder, which is all about how, like, in quantum physics, like for theoretical physicists, their sense of beauty, like, blinds them to the truth sometimes because they're so drawn to, like, a theory that seems neat and tidy that they...
Are you comparing yourself to theoretical physicists?
Yes, I am.
To unlock the
because, no, but, like,
universe?
A lot of times they're like, oh, my theory, like, you know, string theory, which a lot of people think is bullshit. They're like, it's so beautiful, it could not be true, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe this is my string theory and I need to let it go.
But like, I know, but I like the idea that like birds are the enemy.
Birds are the enemy for
no,
sure.
No, but it's like, but if you're doing a zombie movie, you don't do when a zombie bites you.
You turn
a zombie and then the zombie
turns
into a person.
You.
Yeah, it's permanent.
Like you want the situation to be getting worse, not just switching
reversible.
Sides.
Yeah. It's permanent.
It's like, okay.
Or what if when the bird looks, they can hold multiple souls. So like a pigeon can literally have like the population of Poughkeepsie like in the bird.
I don't, okay.
And we're thinking too hard.
The whole thing took place in a bird.
Look, all
this
species.
Whole story was people that realized they are in a bird inside a box. They all saw a bird, and then they're trapped in the bird, and it's like Mission Impossible. Mission Men in Black at the end.
All living things desire to spread their seed and repopulate and keep the species alive.
Yes.
We do it by nutting and making babies. These birds do it. These birds do
they're
it by
psychic parasites
they,
in their
they
eyes.
They psychic parasites and then they take over your body.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the
yeah.
way they do
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
So it's not like they switch, like you just become one of them, but you know, they're not very smart. They don't care what body they take over. And evolutionarily, like the ones that are birds, you know, survive and
so what's the why now on why the birds are now doing this?
Aliens. Nuclear experimentation.
Okay, look, it doesn't matter why it started, right?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I don't
it doesn't,
know.
Who cares?
I don't know how the monster showed up in Quiet Place.
Yeah,
they're just
so
there.
It's just if you look at birds, you go crazy, right?
Yes, yep,
and then,
yep.
So, okay.
What I like about that, by the way, is you can give the monsters a kind of sound. Like, you don't know, are they birds? Are they bat-looking? But you can hear, like, their wings. Like,
now, is this just the Alfred Hitchcock movie, The Birds?
Well, sure. If the birds took over your body
yeah.
when they looked at you.
Instead of pecking you, they were like, now I am you. Yeah, I can't pay taxes.
I mean, they're not blind in birds.
Nice try.
All right. Let's get back to America's second place sweetheart, Sandra Bullock.
Will, there's no way to know that Julie Roberts isn't also in the movie.
That's a good point. Could be a stealth marketing thing.
So it could be Julie
okay,
Roberts.
So anyway, point is, what? She's trying to protect her family from becoming psychically altered by birds.
So
maybe.
We have our opening scene, which is the kid sneaks onto the roof to go fuck with the
pigeoning,
pigeons,
yeah.
right?
And oh, then, he notices a pigeon that's not his pigeon.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, what's this bird doing in here? And he opens it up and he takes it out.
Oh,
and he's like,
I get it.
And then he looks at the bird and stares at it, and then he puts the bird back and walks off the roof. You're like, what the fuck was this?
So, in that case, it wouldn't be Sandra Bullock's kid.
No, probably not. I think Sandra Bullock is in the forest with kids. All
right, so then we have nothing.
We have nothing. We have
So, all right, let me say this. With Sandra, are we starting with the disaster? Like, are we starting with, holy shit, everyone's turning into birds? Or, like, is this like we start in the bird pocket?
You're starting, it's very quiet. I feel like you're starting and being like, this is what life is like in a forest where you're blind and birds turn you into birds. Like, look how they boil water. We're using, like, feeling this stuff. I don't know. Oh,
yeah,
wings are
yeah,
coming.
You go
everybody
to the middle,
quiet.
Immediate res.
Yeah, immediate
like
res.
Place.
Like, this is the crazy All right, world
so,
they live in now.
So we've
Can I say it really quick?
I love not seeing you guys because, like, I have no idea what your facial reactions are to anything I'm saying.
so really quick, why I love the okay, so you know how in A Quiet Place they somehow figured out like electricity so that like they can like see things, you know, and so they can, you know, like walk around the farm.
Wait, you say they here's figured out electricity
in
The
Quiet
Place,
right? He has like a generator or some shit. Okay, here's what we do with this one. Because there's trees, there's speakers in the trees, and it just goes tree, tree, tree. So like, there's a tree here.
Okay.
So they don't hit the trees.
So you're just like every tree has a speaker.
Well, it's just like, you know, like you can't see. It's just like tree. Tree.
Oh,
oh, there's a
no,
tree.
They could put. Wait. That could work because what you do is you put like some sort of, you know, magnet or something on every tree, and you would have like a Siri type thing that a proximity sensor. That anytime you got close to something, you'd be like tree, there's tree, a- sun. Tree, tree, food. Oh, good. Here's my food.
There it is. I've been looking for this for hours.
Monster, monster. Don't peek. Don't peek. Okay. This is really good. Thank you, Siri.
Thanks, Siri. Siri's helping us out a lot.
This movie sounds really obnoxious.
And then Siri looked at a bird.
Could Siri be so
someone
bad?
Took a picture, and then what oh, they didn't shit. Realize is that there was a bird in the picture, and then Siri got taken over by the bird box.
Yes,
and
it was definitely
it was in that picture posted on Twitter.
I like it.
Posted
that
on Twitter.
Essentially the
nice.
Meme.
It
was a tweet.
I get it, Freddie.
The viral marketing of Bird Box turned everybody into. I know. I'm just the viral marketing of Bird
fucking
Box turned everybody into
Nothing
birds.
Good enough for these guys.
Okay. So.
Okay. Ignoring. Okay. Look. Very the monster could
we
also
have
be
like
let's
I know we
story.
Have like 3 minutes
yeah, like
left.
2 minutes
of let's get to the story of Sandra Bullock because the monster
the
could also be anything. Essentially, at the end of the day, if you open up your eyes
and
if you
see
peek,
a bird,
you're gonna turn into a bird. Like it doesn't even really matter if she knows what's happened. They just know.
All right no yes but, okay so yes we're in like some sort of survivor camp
yes.
right
yeah.
where they've made their little home.
They figured it out.
They're like we have like rooms where you can't see anything. You know, like we have little rooms where, like, you know, we can take our blindfolds off, you know, and then we also just live in the forest with our little community, right? So then it feels like they're at this tense equilibrium with a dangerous outside world.
Yes.
And then
you know what's funny
something,
about that?
Oh my God. Someone, it's a caveman story, you know, like you're in your tenuous, uneasy relationship with the outside world, right?
Yes.
And then something happens that now you have to go into the wilderness.
That pushes
right?
you
right.
out of your tenuous. Yeah,
yes.
you're
hunt. Yeah, I seem to remember there's like a bunch of stuff in the movie where like they're on like a river, right? So like they're on a journey somewhere.
Yeah,
so like the classic thing would be someone gets sick and then they're got to take care of the sick person. So they're going to go like there's a city down the river, right?
Ironically,
and they're
going to I think they get the bird flu in it.
In the movie?
Yeah, and then they have to go get some just like chicken noodle soup and some orange juice.
Yes, that's what cures bird flu.
And some a lot of rest. Like we gotta quickly get to the CVS and get some.
We gotta get some top ramen.
I don't have Wikipedia, so we can't confirm or deny that that's the treatment.
Okay,
for
but
her.
Yes, actually, I think one of her kids getting very sick.
Yeah,
is actually I think that's a good because also you then have like an incapacitated kind of, you know, you have something. It's not just like two healthy kids that can move along with you. You also like the difficulty of taking somebody wounded or incapacitated increases the danger.
Can I throw something out there? Another idea in terms of like a backstory thing. Cause I think she thinks she also has like a dead kid. I saw like a lot of like little excerpts about it being a meditation on grief or whatever. Yeah. Every horror movie, by the way, is a meditation on grief. You know why? Because people die in the horror movie.
Look, listen to how this horror movie isn't just a horror movie. It's about something. It's like, no shit. It's a movie. It's whatever.
It's a movie.
Someone
of
died, and then the people
are
sad that the person died. Oh, wow. Anyway, sorry. I know they're actually like Hereditary.
We're not shitting on Bird Box. We're shitting on the stupid film bloggers who write and name
You know
articles.
What? They're hardworking people, too. I'm not trying to shit on them. I'm sorry, film bloggers.
I'm not.
All right. So okay, thanks, Matt. Really glad you clarified that in case anyone
as for, make sure that
half
knows.
A second thought that you would have like a dash of humility on this
as
show.
As I make sure I'm the asshole and you're not the
okay,
asshole.
Okay, I appreciate that. Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right, so moving on. Could you do like there's an attack at the beginning, right? And someone gets whatever, and there's someone kid disappear. Could you do like part of her backstory is her husband saw one of the birds and birded out, right? And then like they just
so
ran
it's called
screaming
in canon, it's called
ran
birding
screaming
out.
Into the woods or whatever. Could you do that? Like she sees her husband. Or she sees someone, and they're like a human, like, but that they know got, but they're like not, they're like, like, you know, like walking around, like, but like they got like a weirdo look in their eye. Like, cause you, especially cause it's like the other thing that like, if you're going to play into this like paranoia, like you have the blindfold on your head is like, you don't know what the other humans are up to while yes. you have this blindfold yeah. on. So could yeah. you do also a twist where like someone in the camp is evil or say, or there is like a, there's also, there's just a threat beyond the, yeah. you know, like,
I do, by like, the way, and that's a really cool moment. I don't know how that works cinematically because like, again, you're blindfolded, but like the idea that it's like at one point she takes it off and she realizes she's just surrounded by mute human beings staring at her in yep. the woods.
I was going to say,
time.
Okay,
that's,
this,
cool. that's a cool moment.
This
a cool
is, like, okay, wait, I like this idea. I like this image too. It's like you could do, I would do something like this, which is, yes, right. You're living in wilderness, which, you know, disease, infection, all those things that normally kill humans, you know, but cities and
ants, moss,
technology and stuff stopped, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't have that anymore because yeah. now we're all living, you know, freaking essentially primal again. So you have,
why?
Maybe,
unclear.
Maybe her husband got sick and they were too scared to go try to find something and they were hoping they could fix it. And the husband, as far as they know, died, right? So she has this like guilt, like even this like guilt that they should have done something more. And the kid is now sick with a similar thing. And she's not going to do what she did last time. They're not going to just sit here and like try to fix it. They're going to go like, right, cure. They think they know a way to cure this illness. I think you do something too. It's like she comes face to face with the monster. And sometimes it sounds like wings, but yes, sometimes it sounds like feet because they're humans. Mm. She like puts her hand up to the monster. And it's her husband. And her husband wasn't dead this whole time. Her husband's been going off as like a bird creature, all this stuff.
Or like he gained his mind back and evolved into like a human bird hybrid.
No, what you do is that he's clearly a bird creature, but then she deals with the grief. She knows it's her husband, but he's not her husband anymore. But she just fucking takes off. Then you have one of those shitty, stupid endings where it's like, ooh, look how dark this is. And she takes off her blindfold and then looks at him. And then.
And he goes, bah, bah!
And then she goes, and then it's a pause. You're like, what's Sandra Bullock going to do? And she goes, bah! And then goes the end.
And then Bird is the Word starts playing. That's the entire movie builds up to what is the husband going to say? And he goes,
if you're going to do the sickness, I was just trying to think of something that she could feel.
I don't want to have a sick person around the whole movie, though. Like, it's
yeah,
like
what a bummer, man. It's a bummer movie.
It's like, I don't know that. I'm trying to think. Okay, because you can do, there's the classic man goes on a journey, like she's going to go into the wilderness to go find something to try to bring it back to save her family, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's essentially what we're talking about.
But she wouldn't just leave her kids there. That's why the danger and the fun of it is like having to bring.
That's really
your
awkward
children
scene.
I guess she like, does have the kids. We are trying to. Yes, she does have the kids with her.
And that's also more interesting. Like if it's just
all right,
her
in
by
that
herself.
Case, then it is. In that case, it's not. But in that case, I think it's like the their little community gets wiped out. Do you know what I mean? Like it's your opening is a bird attack, mm-hmm. right? Or there's some crazy shit happens.
Okay.
And then they have to go find a new home. Like that's essentially what the story would be. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, like you're in this tenuous thing and now your journey is going through the woods trying to, and again, like you've heard tell that there's another human you're like, you saw something, like you have some one little hope or hint of something that you can go do, and then you're on the journey to go find that thing, and as you find that thing, you discover a deeper mystery about what's going on.
Yes.
Something like that.
I like starting with, if they're in like a small kind of encampment, it's like you start with this like attack that wipes out everything except for this like small family.
Yeah, it's like kind of like the beginning of 28 Weeks Later, if you guys saw
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and you're kind of doing it in a cool way where it's like it's all going to be sound and like, with, like, you know, camera wipes in front of her so you don't see what the monsters are and stuff like that. And it's like, oh shit, and she's like finding her kids and trying to get out of there and you're hearing all the screaming. And then it's also like mysterious. So, like, how could this have happened? Like, we all have our blindfolds on. Like, what happened? And you're kind of setting up
someone
like,
took their blindfold off.
Yeah, you're setting up like, was this a attack? Like, yeah, you're kind of planting all this stuff. But then ultimately what you have is now this family is without a home.
In the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
By the way, the place where all the birds are, kind of a dumb choice in the first place. Am I right, Sandra?
Do they know that it's the birds?
Got to, man. Right? Or do they?
I mean, I feel like anybody who's seen the monster is now the monster, so you wouldn't actually know what it is. You all have. It's definitely more fun to play with the idea, like they all have, like they hear wings.
They
and she's like, okay, but I've heard feet coming through.
So
like
idea,
sometimes they scream and like you don't quite know what it is.
So the idea that like they're being overly cautious because they don't know exactly what. Right? Because if it was just birds, it'd be like fucking easy. Just don't look at birds, numbnuts. But they don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like it could be anything. They have these theories. And
Freddie. You say that's easy. Here's. I want you to not see a bird today.
Yeah, fucking easy.
All right, good luck.
It's called spend all day inside playing fucking PUBG, baby. Done.
I know you. You're gonna walk to go get a Coke.
I'm gonna make
a
new
Coke.
Tab. Then I'm gonna open Twitter and be like, oh shit.
Oh no, I saw a bird.
I opened Instagram.
So
and
wait,
my
now
dumb
we. But now I feel like we're on the verge of unwinding everything we figured out up to this point.
No, because
we're like, wow, we don't really know it's birds.
No, no, I.
they have theories.
It's like a pair. Yeah. Yes. I don't know if they know. And we're also like, we are saying that the monster, as of now, our monster is both the birds and humans that have been turned into, like, it's really the parasite that started with the birds.
Yeah.
And now it's just, again, I think it's fun to be like, you know,
it's
like,
transmission
cares?
Based on sight, which is like,
no, but I feel like we just pulled out a crucial Jenga piece and the whole thing fell over.
Okay,
like,
let's just say it's birds. I think the more important crucial thing is figuring out like,
what the fuck happens in the movie. What is
the main, like, at least with a kid who is sick, I get what the journey is.
Let's go with the sick kid.
Kid's got diabetes. It's like, shit, I got to get some insulin in them. But what is insulin? I can't look at it.
Look, they're out in the wilderness because you would say, well, we'll figure it out in a second, but the cities are really dangerous. So everybody's moved out of there, right?
Yes.
And they're living in the wilderness. And yes, the kid, something's happened. He got a cut and is getting infected or something. And he needs, it's the classic, penicillin or whatever. It's just like, we need a thing from society that we don't have any more of. We can't find our way back to the camp. The camp's too dangerous. There's a city 20 miles away. We got to find, you know, we haven't been to a city in 20 years. Are you sure there's even stuff there? It's like, I got to try it. My kid's sick. I got to save my kid. And it's like, there's your journey.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
To save my kid's life. And now she's going to risk everything, including the life of her other kid and herself and all this other stuff in order to save her kid. And, you know, whether or not you do that, but I was also trying to, like, you know, is there a guilt or sense of, like, you know, she didn't make the difficult decision before.
Yeah, maybe one kid died.
Yeah, I feel like in this difficult, right, you have that. Even just, like, you know, as long as, like, as recent as, like, 100 years ago in America, it's like you freaking made situations like, well, shit, like... Somebody, the kid's sick. It's like, you don't know how you can, like, you have to make tough decisions.
Okay. What if it's like, all right, they go back, they fled the city. Let's say the parasite birds have taken over the city, right? And all the people that went crazy are in the city. And is there like her son is there or something like that? Like the kid from the beginning who she thought died in like the, what do they discover when they go to the city, right?
That's why I was trying to get something. If you're going to do that, she's like alone. Like, I feel like the husband is gone. Like, she had kids, so she had a husband, you know, more likely than not.
Sure.
More likely than not. In the vast majority, she probably had somebody. They're probably like, so, or yes, they're adopted and she had a wife, but whatever, wife or husband. And you could do something where, like, this is very hard. A lot of people go insane because they don't like write this up, especially if you do that, like, people were uprooted. Like, they vaguely remember the time before it. You could do, like, if you did a flashback, is like the husband. You know, it was getting very difficult, and she woke up one morning, and it was her birthday or whatever, and she hears her husband say, like, you look so beautiful, and she like, oh my God. Like, you know, he took off the blindfold, because he's just like, he couldn't take it anymore. And whatever you do that, it's like, she could have kicked him out, or like, you know, he's like, don't worry, everything's fine. And it's like, I was trying to think of some way that's like, the husband died in a way that she feels guilty about. And it's always been this kind of like, guilt on her. And,
oh, like, in the birdpocalypse.
Yes, yeah, during the birdpocalypse.
Post-apocalypse.
And like, you know, maybe one of the kids blames her for like, you know, not letting the dad back in, right? It's the classic, like, right, if this was a zombie movie, it's like,
you shot dad.
The dad went to go get something special for her birthday, came back and she saw a scratch on him. He's like, it's not, don't worry, it's not a bite, it's just a scratch. And, you know, she made the difficult decision, be like, I don't, like, sorry, like, and close the door on him because, you know, she was protecting.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh shit, yeah, the equivalent of that.
So where does that go?
That's just giving her, like, you know, in Gravity, it's this woman who's just lost a baby. It's just trying to give her, like, what is her psychology a bit? Like, she's somebody who is surviving but has a survivor's guilt. She's beginning to question whether or not it's even worth.
What is her relationship with these two kids like? Because, again, one of them, I think in the story, it's like one of the kids is, I don't even know if they're her kids. You know, it's just two kids she's looking after. What is her relationship with these children like? Are they just by themselves? Are they with a group of people? Like,
well, I think they're dependent on her. They have to be.
No, but I'm like, is this community just her and these two kids, or is there like more shit going on?
I think it's better to be just her and the two kids, right? It's just, I think it gets way more, right? Like, Quiet Place isn't them in society with a bunch of people. You get the distant, like, right? In Quiet Place, you got, like, the hints of there's other survivors, but we're definitely a really, really post-disaster event kind of spread
out. I was trying to think.
Okay, all right. Can I take a shot? Yeah. All right. So, like, to me, if you're going to do, like, on a metaphorical level, what are you doing with the blindfold, right? As a parent, what do you want to, like, again, if you're going to talk about attention, like, it's like, what is this movie really about? As a parent, you don't want to expose your kids to the horrors of the world, right? Like, as parents, we all kind of put blindfolds on our kids. I'm not a parent, but, like, I remember, like, when here's a perfect example. We would, in Houston, like, you know, like, my, whenever, because my sister loved skunks, you know, like she thought they were super cute or whatever. Yeah, she's just like, you know, like a thing. Like you're a kid, you think there's a certain, you're like, she's a big fan of the animal of a skunk. She thought they were cute. Whenever there was like a roadkill skunk, my mom would find something else for my sister to look at to distract her, right? Because she didn't want her to see this thing, right? Or she would like, again, like you'd smell that skunk smell from when the skunk got hit.
And your mom was like, don't worry, it's just weed, baby.
She would say it's like, you know, someone must have burned rubber with their tires or something.
Someone
like
must
that.
Have lit up a doobie.
But in terms of a thing, like, I like the idea that she is trying to like, again, there's like, you're literally dramatizing that by like not wanting these kids to see the thing, right? Or to see something.
It's like
to
a
see
metaphor
horrible,
for being
right?
overprotective.
Because there's some sort of like, and again, oftentimes those loss of innocence moments are like, you see something that you weren't supposed to see and your whole life changes forever, right? So like that could be something interesting to play around with in terms of a goal for her. Because now like she has kept, here's what I would say. She is someone who has endeavored as best she can to give her kids a normal life in this crazy world, right? It would almost be like a creepy opening where you almost don't even realize anything is wrong other than they're wearing blind, all the windows are blocked out, right? Like at first it seems like this nice domestic scene, but then right before she goes outside, she puts on this blindfold and closes the door, right? I don't know. Is there something there, maybe?
I would suggest. I think what I'm trying to also focus in on what like I was trying to get to with. I would say I haven't seen the movie, but like also, and I'm not a parent, but I'm becoming one, and that's obviously what I've been thinking about for the past few months. And then brother and my best friend, who both have kids that are like a year old now, I think I would even say it's more. At least my thought, if I were to be like, what's the metaphor? It's like right. It's the blindfold from Sandra Bullock's point of view. There's nothing else in the world other than your kids, right? And you are focused 100% on that. And if you're going to do the idea of like, because even as simple as like us playing board games with my friends yesterday, and like they have a kid now, and like seeing them not even have like, they want that moment. Like I remember somebody be like, oh, do you think he's okay? Like he just ran around the corner and it's like, you know, my friend's turn. He's like, yeah, let me just. And there's that moment where it's like, should I take that extra second just to play my turn in this board game or double check that my kid didn't run into a wall around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's nothing. The outside world doesn't exist to you anymore in a way, right? It's like you are completely focused on your family. And I think we kind of played with that a little bit in Impulse, with the idea of like that sin of like taking a moment for yourself as a parent could be nothing or could be disastrous if something happens. And God forbid something does happen, when that happens, you're probably never going to forgive yourself, right?
So let's say, well, you want to say that is what her backstory was?
So if it was something like, let's say the dad and like her and the husband went out, like they haven't been alone forever, and there's like, it's their anniversary, and they just like went out to the forest or something and found a quiet place so they could take off the blindfolds and see each other for the first time in like a year, and that caused his death, like, right? That caused them to lose the horrible thing happened back then. And like, because then you always have this thing where it's like, now she, I don't know, it just feels like you want the temptation to be her to finally pull off her blindfold, right? Like she is in nothing but survival mode this entire movie. Like that's everything. Like the blindfold is just like there's nothing in the world other than the feel of your kids and, you know, their cries for help or whatever, and you have nothing else other than your own head, which is your own anxiety as a parent.
And as you are blindfolding yourself, not just to, you know, like it's this act of protection, but it also keeps you from seeing, you know, who your children have become, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you're probably one of the kids that would play a little older, you know, like kind of like War of the Worlds, you know what I mean? Like that you have someone who's like, you know, 14, 15 or something like that is starting to rebel.
Okay.
So maybe you do. Okay. So yes, then what I would do is that. Okay, so the mom is the, okay, so yeah, Sandra Bullock is like, she is, you know, very obviously there's no such thing as overprotective in this world, right? Yeah. But it's like very protective of her kids and is not, you know, like again, wants to create this kind of, I like the idea that like she wants to create a sense of normalcy for them inside the house and stuff like that, right? But she's not dealing with how fucked the world has become. And, you know, she is, but she's trying to keep it out. She's trying to, you know, protect
and she's
this
not
bubble.
Prepping them for
and it. And then what you do, the result of that is like every action has equal opposite a reaction. You have the older kid and you have the younger kid. The older kid is, whether adopted or whatever, is pushing back against that. And I'm saying he's not pushing back because of adoption. I'm just saying, like, whatever the dynamic is.
Yeah.
So you do, the older kid is like, man, like, I want to fucking go outside. Like, she doesn't even let her kids outside, you might say, right? Like, so then I would do, for the older kid, an act of frustration, does something, right? Mm-hmm. Goes outside when he's not supposed to, breaks some kind of rule, and in doing that, causes a calamity that befalls the youngest kid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? He's not watching the youngest kid when he's doing this, and then it causes, you know, the young kid gets injured or something like that. Yeah. The young kid follows after him, right? And I'm having a thought. Mm-hmm. All right, so you would do that. The young kid. All right. I think I've got something. Okay, hear me out. The mom, overprotective, keeping everyone in the house. The older kid tinkering around with like a ham radio in his room, right? And he tunes into this mysterious station that is beeping out this code, right? And he's been trying to figure out, or she's been trying to figure out what the code says, what's going on, right? Like someone's on the other end of this line. And she's like, I think there's a cure for the bird thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, or there's some wise man that lives here or something like that. Someone's communicating, right? And like, you know, or whatever, right?
Morse code or something.
So you would do that. Hear me out. They go outside. When the kid goes outside, the youngest kid comes out and sees the monster and goes crazy, mm-hmm. right? But they're able to, so they're like, fuck, what are we going to do, right? Like, do we just kill, like, again, it's like, they eventually the kid die, you know, like they die or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you do that, the kid is like, we've got to go to the numbers station. We've got to go to this place. Like, that's the only possible, I think there's a cure there. This person says that they have a cure or something like that. And so then Sandra Bullock and the older kid take the younger kid on this journey to go find the number station.
And then the younger kid, what's going on? Like, is he bird person now?
Is he just birding out? I don't
or is
know.
He
Maybe
like,
that's a little weird.
I mean, I think he could just be injured. But okay, I guess you're trying to do the cure thing.
To me, that what I liked about that is it's like a little bit more explicitly tied into the premise as opposed to it just being like they have a tummy ache or they broke their
yeah,
toe
yeah, and
or
then
whatever.
It's just like, the,
like that.
They keep him in a homemade box so he doesn't run off.
And then, like, at the end, they go to, like, a big lighthouse, and there's, like, a bunch of birds there, and they, like, you just do a bunch of psychedelic imagery, and then they light the bird on fire or whatever.
Like,
and,
what, like, Annihilation?
Yeah, they call it Annihilation, and it's, like, cool. Actually, I like that movie.
I like that movie, too.
So, but I like the idea that, yes, there is this... That to me, like that's an inherent hook. What are they going to see when they
yeah,
go
when
there,
they get
right?
There. Yeah.
Maybe you do, like, when somebody gets birded out... When somebody birds out, you are supposed to, like, burn them alive, right? Like, you're supposed to, like, it's a zombie thing. Like, you got to kill them because mm-hmm. they are now dangerous and, like, you know, nobody knows exactly what the monster is. There's also an element of fear, like, right, this unknown danger of the outside world as a parent. So it's like, again, since nobody looks at it, nobody knows exactly what happens. Nobody knows if they turn into birds or what. Everybody just knows that they go crazy and they disappear and they come back and they turn more people, right, if you see them. So, like, if somebody's birding out, you're supposed to get rid of them. And maybe that's even why they get cast out. Like, maybe they are in this small society and they know the little brother. And she's like, we got to go. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. What happens? Like, we got to go before anybody finds out.
Like, the time.
This happened because the people are going to burn him, right? The people are going to kill him because he was bit like a zombie or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's going to go and they think there's a cure.
We still have a week.
And again, you could do, again, maybe theoretically like that. And then you could do, like, that's what happened. Like, the older son, especially if you do the older son blame. Okay, Barrett, if you do the older son also is rebelling because he blames her for the dad's death. Because mm-hmm. you could do, she did a tough decision. And you can also reveal that, like, maybe she didn't do the tough decision and that he's actually still out there. And then that ends up coming back to bite her because it's all about her not letting go.
To peck her in the ass.
But yeah, actually, I like that. If you like, because then you could also have, like, your first action scene, whatever, being, like, you know, the head of the area or whatever, being like, you know, they overhear, like, as they're sneaking out of the place or whatever, it's like what happened. And, you know, they're getting chased by their own people who are trying to get her kid because he was burning out or whatever.
Small note that I think is interesting. If it takes like a week for the kid to go full bird.
Oh, you have a ticking clock.
A ticking clock. But also what's kind of interesting, right, is the idea that the youngest person, if they're like, look, he's already been exposed. He can see. He can walk around with his blindfold off. So the idea that in a weird way, like, he's leading them a little bit because he can see kind of things.
Oh, letting go to let your kid start kind of taking
over.
That's
kind of
cool.
Yeah.
But then you can also do this thing where there's a certain moment where it's like, is the kid like...
Is he leading them on?
Exactly.
What's going on?
Has he become a bird?
He's like creating like a little nest in their campsite.
As long as we're sensitive, it's just a parasite thing that takes over your brain and not
but at
a
least
bird.
The, but at least the idea
funnier.
Of like... But at least the idea of like... The older brother, right, like wanting some, the older sibling wanting something and then now can't have it, but now it's getting relayed to them is kind of an interesting. And then really, honestly, the, you know, the, a new world through the eyes of this child is kind of interesting.
I mean,
you could
do something similar again, whether it's as I'm trying to think of the, I mean, to be fair, that's probably why Annihilation is something so abstract, but like, right, it would be one of those things where it's like, yes, you actually do realize the kid is starting to lead you into danger on purpose, but then is that actually the ultimate lesson? Like, is he leading you? Is the danger not really what you thought it was and is more like the personal thing you have to conquer? Like, right, it's right, like, right, again, right. Annihilation is like, it's essentially becomes this, she literally is led into, and the actual, you know, monster at the end is not, it's like, she had to go there because it's grief itself. And like, you know, you have to deal with your own internal demons or whatever, like literally the mirror reflection of yourself. So like, is it, yeah, I'm trying to think of like the kid, where's the kid leading them?
Right.
Because I definitely like that moment where it's like, she starts questioning if the sick kid is like, has already turned or whatever, is like an interesting moment for sure.
Are we doing the number station thing? Are we doing the...
Yeah, I like that. I mean,
it's
I like that.
It's like the Morse code,
so
and they decoded it.
If you do the kid is birded and is birding out, And then it's like the older son is like, I think there's a cure. Like, we can't just let them burn my brother. It's my fault. We got to hope that there's a chance. Like, she's like, are you crazy? Like, now I've already lost my husband. And, you know, it's happened. The world's tough. We've lost our, you know, there's nothing we can do. What are we going to do? Go out there. And then she decides, like, no, I'm not going to let my younger son die. We're going to go out and, you know, take this shot in a million and hope we can get there.
Her options are let the kid, they're like, this is town is like, look, we're either going to kill this kid or, and you can stay here.
Or you're banished.
Right. Yeah. And so they leave. Yes. Right. And that's her first turn, right? Is that she cares more about her kids than about, you know,
especially if you do that, she blames herself for her husband's death. It'd be like, she even does it. She tells the older sons, like, you wouldn't be like, we have to do this for you. Like, you'll never be able to live this down. You start realizing that her own depth of grief.
You know what you do as well is like, okay, so yes, and then it's sort of hero's journey ways as they're on the road in the forest and stuff like that. And they, again, they understand that like this kid now can detect when there's a monster around, right?
Yeah.
Like, and there starts, she's again, it is, you're discovering that your child is a person with agency and that, you know, that can look out for themselves and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, but it's like now that they're actually engaging with the way the world is, as opposed to, you know, just denying it essentially and shutting it out. Like, she is like learning and growing as a result of that. Is he in a coma? Like, what is, I do kind of wonder what is the youngest kid, what's his deal? Like,
and it's probably progressive symptoms, right? Like, at first it's fine, and then slowly he's becoming a little less coherent, wanting more birdseed, sex, etc. You know,
I do feel like that's kind of betraying the initial premise of like, you see the thing and you just flip your lid and you just go completely crazy. That's my only thing.
No, that's
with
fair.
This. So like, to me, like, I would do that. The kid is just like incomprehensible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's almost to the point where it almost seems cruel to keep him alive.
Yeah, there's
right?
bits of
yes.
consciousness.
But then yes,
self.
You would do maybe again, because usually it's like the first thing, I think in the movie it's like the first thing is most of the people try to kill themselves when they see the monster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you would do, it's that you can feel this thing taking over your mind essentially, and so like your natural self preservation instinct is to destroy it. So you would do that. They have got the kid and he's, you know, again going through symptoms or whatever, but then like, you know, maybe like as they continue to observe him, like, you know, like these kind of traits come out or whatever, he starts saying things.
What happens when they get to, because I feel like your big midpoint or whatever is like
they get to the tower, right?
Yeah, like what's the turn, like what's the,
I think there's a person at the tower who is like a person who has gone through a full metamorphosis of what the kid has.
Uh-huh.
When maybe, honestly, it might be the dad, right? Like, that seems like that would be the thing I would do. And it's the dad calling to his family is what you would do.
Right.
And it's the dad is like, reached like a weird bird stasis, right? With the bird. And so to the point where it's like these clucks or whatever, like this thing he's hearing is, it's like, it's the dad has lost the ability to communicate, but you would do like, he taught his kids SOS or, you know, Morse code or ham radio or whatever. So it almost is in that way, kind of like a bird call. And
God.
And he's been trying to call his family home to him in the forest, essentially, right? That to me seems like, so now she has the opportunity to essentially have a family, you know, this weird version of the reunited family again.
If they all become birds.
They have to take the blindfold off and accept this thing, right?
The new reality.
Like, that seems like a really interesting dilemma to me,
you
right?
You could do something where, okay. Yeah.
And then, oh, by the way, you could also do X, Y, and Z thing happens when they're leaving town so that the townsfolk are following them.
Yes, I was about
them.
To say, they are, unbeknownst to them, leading there, because yes, you could even do this as like a big city or like a big like outskirts. They feel like they might be the last people on earth, essentially like Walking Dead style, right? It's like they own this prison yard or something. Mm-hmm. There's like 100 or so people, and then as far as they know, they're the last people on earth. And yes, the one guy is like, perfect, you've led us. They think if they kill the head bird, they'll save everything.
Exactly.
The head bird's the dad.
Yeah.
So first they're like trying to defend. They just want to save the dad, who's a bird now or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, then you have this final moment where like, it's not just about saving the dad. They're going to become birds to keep their bird family alive.
Is that the ending, do you think?
It's pretty cool and dark.
I actually kind of like that.
And the dad's like, you're gonna think you can fly, you definitely can't.
I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, it's in the same realm as like, for the lack of a better thing I could think of, like Cynothrax esque.
Yeah, it's like it's accepting. It's accepting that this is it's I Am Legend.
I would also
it's
say
I Am Legend.
Yeah,
it's new realizing
normal.
That
yeah.
The new normal is this.
And even say like it's. And again, ignoring the metaphysical body horror, like changing the thing, it's actually more like you can live in this confined camp and be safe, or join, like the dad's essentially like, let's be a family again in this dangerous world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right, like you have to take the step out. Like, yes, it is, there's danger out there, and it's, you know, who knows what's going to happen or whatever, but like, we can be a family, we can fight it together.
We have to accept that this
the answer is
the
not to blindfold
are.
Ourselves to the world and hide in a camp, right?
So it's literally
open up the end. And again, it would be that she, the outside world, metaphorically for the main character, the outside world, something a danger did destroy her, right? Yeah. Cause her grief that she couldn't overbear, that she couldn't overcome with the death of her husband.
Yes.
And so metaphorically, that's why she is blindfolded and protecting
her. But she's
her
also
from
blind. Oh, because you do your ending, you do something very poignant where she takes the blindfold off, right? And she sees him. It is, yes, she is changing as a result of what is going to happen, but it's also you're accepting, and again, the beauty of nature, the beauty right. of the world, you know, which, yeah. you know, you were blocking yourself out of.
And yeah, then, she sees her family for the first time, right? They all look at each other.
They all look at each other, and then she vomits food into her youngest son's mouth. And she's like, here,
dude,
I provide sustenance.
But I think, that actually, Freddie, I'm not like, you know, you're joking, but like that weird collision of the sacred and the disgusting, I think is exactly what you do with it.
Yeah, you do the
and,
way
and
she
I am
cures.
Nothing but a collision of those two, am I right?
She's changing, and then you do, the only solution to cure her kid is the kid needs the fucking...
He needs a family. He needs love.
Well, he needs the vomit from his mama bird.
Yeah.
Like that's why the kid is sick. He's turning into a bird and nobody's regurgitating food into his mouth.
Do it. That would be insane to see it. That's absolutely something she has to do on the adventure.
You know what
by the
is?
Way is that you do that she like again part,
chewing food up
she,
for him.
Again like yeah. it's a bird. It doesn't know what to do with. She has to literally like that's her. That would so be Sandra Bullock's like, you know, like remember like in Leonardo DiCaprio ate like a raw bear liver in The Revenant. Like this is that scene for her. Like did you see that scene where fucking Sandra Bullock actually regurgitated food?
So
like,
the end of this movie, then, just to clarify, because this is two people in the world other than you and Freddie, and in fact I don't even know if you've seen both these things, will probably understand this collision that I'm going to say is the ending. Okay. But it's essentially the end of Tom Popo, where it's just a big long shot of a woman breastfeeding, mm-hmm. but this is a big long shot of a bird regurgitating, and the end of the Faded music video by Kanye West, which is like a pretty normal video, and then all of a sudden it's just like cat people. So that's essentially what this is. It's just like then you cut to the end, it's just Sandra Bullock as a bird just regurgitating into her family's mouth, and this family's together. You're like, well, they look weird, but they're a happy family.
They're
so
a happy
like,
family.
Yes.
Yeah, this is
actually, that's what I would do. Yeah, the family has been because she accepted what happened. Like, again, yeah. like they've moved through, they've allowed the grief to transform them.
And the metaphor is humanity has caged nature and attempted to, but now it is
we are back
into nature again.
And again, it's like, what is the bird box? The real box was the place she was in. Like, this was the cage. You know what I mean? And now she's free.
Well, I think we got a movie here. You want to
sum
it up?
Hey, Siri, how much time do we have left?
Hey, Siri. I think my phone's locked. I don't think I can Siri.
I think my phone is locked. I don't think I can Siri.
Siri, what time is it?
It's 2:19 p.m.
We have 1 minute!
Oh,
1 minute!
God. 1 minute! All right, 1 minute. Left. Here we go. Here we go. All right. So
ours is Bird Box, but like the R is a 2.
But Turd Box?
Turd Box?
Turd Box.
More like Turd Box.
More
right?
like Turd Box, a story break movie. Okay. Turd Box. Here we go. So we start on a rooftop in New York City, and a kid is fucking around with a pigeon coop, and he's like, boy, there's like a lot of orange mysterious haze in the city. Hey, what's with that bird? The bird looks at him, and then he flips out and jumps off the roof, and then you look around the city, and people all over the place are going nuts, right? And then you cut to...
They're banging their heads into walls like woodpeckers.
Trying to fly.
Running into traffic.
Cut to 15 years later. Sandra Bullock is living with her two kids in the post-birdpocalypse. And they're in this commune through her conflict with her kid, right? She's trying to go outside. You know, she needs to go outside to go to a town meeting to get their supplies for the week or whatever, right? And her son wants to come along, but she's like, no, you got to stay behind. So then the son sneaks along with her. And then as this is going on, you get the backstory of what happened with her and the dad, that the dad died and she's being overprotective. And then, oh shit, because the son snuck along, he wasn't there and a bird got in to the house and took over the baby, right? Or took over the little kid. And now it's like, oh, frick, the town wants to kill my kid, right? Like,
you left the door open, you dumb kid.
Yeah, even at the town meeting, we see them like freaking murk another dude who got birded, right? Yeah. So she's like, shit, we got to get out of here. The town's going to kill us. They're not going to waste any time. Like, you know, it's not even like a choice, right? They have to run, right? And so they're going to go look for this numbers station where they've been hearing this Morse code. And this kid's like, I think someone has a cure, right? This is very good, by the way. Sorry,
that's why the kid left in the first place, because he was like, I need to investigate this thing.
He wanted to get up to the cell tower in town to, you know, signal boost his thing, right? To get a clearer signal. And when he did that, he discovered that this number station is someone promising a cure. Right. Yep. And so now the mom and the son and the daughter, the crazy birded out daughter, are on the road through the forest, down the river to go find this number station. And along the way, she has to trust her kids to
lead her
and guide her, right? Like this, she realizes that she needs the son's help and she has to rely on the son in a way that she couldn't before as an overprotective parent. Her youngest starts transforming as a result of what's going on, and they realize that the kid has this special talent now to recognize when there's monsters around. So like she's come to rely on and kind of understand both her kids more. Meanwhile, they're being pursued by the people from town who are like, we have to kill anybody who turns into a bird, right? We don't want the infection spreading. So they're on their way, you know, she's trying to protect them from the horrors of the world. The kid sees some shit that, you know, like he, you know, he thought he was ready for that he's not, you know, but then he grows from it or whatever. They get to the tower. At the tower, they find the fucking dad who's birded out, but he's like metamorphosed into like a bird man. And he's like, the cure is that we can all be a family together. You know, like the cure is to embrace what's happening.
And she's not going to let go of him at first, so she's protecting him from the townspeople.
The town wants to destroy them. She realizes that there is still the husband in there. You know, he bird tweets some in-joke to her that she understands. So now they're fighting against the town, and then there's some big cataclysmic thing. The number station gets destroyed. She has a choice to either go back to civilization alone or to be with her family by birding out, and she birds out. And then, you know, the next morning as a bird lady, she sees the beautiful sunrise and she's with her family. And you're like, wow, that was conflicted. And then at the end of the movie, everyone goes, wow, what would you do? And then you get like tweets on Twitter of like, I wouldn't have birded out for my family. I hate them. They supported Trump.
Instead of the end, all my, from now on, this is my promise for any movie any movies that we all do together.
Yeah.
Instead of ending with the end, it just ends with, what would you have done?
it ends with tweet what you would have done to hashtag and then it's the name of the movie.
Then we do the after show Talking Bird, where we interview celebrities about what they thought about the movie.
Sandra Bullock actually turned into a real bird for this movie. It was very difficult. Okay.
Well, that's a movie, guys.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be honest.
I think we got a good movie.
Oh, God, it's bright.
Oh, jeez. I'll be honest. Oh, that is.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll be honest.
I think
nobody's going to believe that we didn't see the movie, because
I'm pretty sure we just said
what the movie was.
It's too bright.
All right. Oh, my God.
Well, do you guys want to watch the movie and see what it is?
I think we should. Right?
Okay, we should. And then be like,
here's what we're going to do, folks. We're gonna take a quick break. During that break, it'll be a mere minute for you, but hours for us, because we're going to actually pop up the old Netflix account and see what the heck everyone's been tweeting about. You know what I'm saying? This Bird Box. I want to see how close we actually got. That and more after the break.
Hey, it's Janet Varney of the JV Club podcast, and I am so excited to be joining Maximum Fun. If you're not yet familiar with the JV Club, it's a podcast with me and some of my favorite women, and in the summer, men, as we explore the highs and lows of our terrible teenage years into our adult lessons. For example, hear about Allison Brie's humiliating moment at a gymnastics competition, experience the shame of a knocked-out tooth with Jamila Jamil, or drop in as John Hamm imagines what would happen if Bambi met Godzilla. So join me and all my once awkward, often still awkward, friends every Thursday by subscribing to the JV Club on MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back. This is Freddy doing his John Malkovich impression, fresh from my viewing of the film Bird Box.
It sounds a lot like your Werner Herzog.
Hey, Freddy, it's me, the soothing voice of B.D. Wong.
What character from
Velociraptors?
What character from Bird Box are you, Matthew?
Hey, this is Sandra Bullock, and no. Come on, podcast, let's go.
I'm going to start referring to you as boy and boy on the podcast.
So in case you haven't realized, we just watched Bird Box fresh from the viewing of it. And one thing I noticed, they did not answer the question that we asked ourselves, which is what does the monster do if you don't see it? It turns out we decided to be like, okay, it must be a bat.
I think it blows your hair up a little bit.
It blows your hair up. It's a wind-based monster. But safe to say, we managed to steer pretty clear from the Bird Box
of
Netflix.
You know, it was was definitely very different from what we came up with. I was really hoping that...
For those, and also really quick, the Bird Box, the titular Bird
Box.
Well, spoilers, I guess, for
three of you that haven't seen it yet.
Basically, it's the story of three indestructible birds who can survive drowning, who can survive literally the elements, everything. They put these birds through the fucking ringer.
Yep.
And they act as a canary in the coal mine for when the monster shows up. That's why it's called Bird Box.
There are also three birds that I guess you can purchase birds at CVS's.
Yeah, so CVS now sells indestructible birds. That was a thing. You didn't see that at the beginning. There's a news story right before the news story of like, oh, the world's going to shit. There's like, and now new indestructible, undrownable birds available at your local supermarket.
I was very impressed that the birds made it the entire way through the movie. I thought the birds were going to be goners for sure.
Yes, agreed.
So definitely, it was different. You know,
wasn't for me. I'll go ahead and say it wasn't for me. Did not like it.
I was down with it at the beginning. I think them not answering what the monster, you don't have to answer what the monster is, but like it, since I never see the monster
hurt someone,
kill you or something, every scene where they're running from the monster blindfolded, the entire time just like, well, they're fine because they're not looking. It's all good.
Yeah. And then
it hurts the movie.
They throw
for sure.
some psychological stuff where it's like the monsters get like, right. In a weird way, the scary bits at the end where they're saying the monster can make the voice of like making you sound like you want to take off the thing. And it's someone that you love telling you to take off the blindfold just tells me that the monster is this weak ass punk ass monster who has to make you take off the blindfold for it to really hurt you. So, all right.
I was a little murky on what the monster wanted. But I will say, I thought the opening sequence was fucking riveting.
I thought
everything in the beginning with when they're driving back from the hospital was super intense.
Yeah, really intense.
Some really gripping sequences.
Look, I think, you know, I'm obviously biased. I like our, bird crazy
I like
version.
Our bird box.
But, you know, I don't know if ours would have been as immediately meme worthy. But, you know, those conspiracy theories aren't, we should look into those. We should look into that. You know what? Why don't you watch Bird Box and then tell Netflix that we sent you and we got an affiliation code. It's Netflix.com. If you go there, they'll make sure
they'll
that we
just
saw
know. They'll
and
just
then
know.
Listen to our episode and you let us know what you think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, enough describing a movie that people
may or may not. Well, to be fair, that one third of
that one third
all Netflix
of the United
have
States
seen,
have seen.
Yeah, sure.
All right, fan art this
yeah,
week.
What you got?
Thanks to everyone who submitted fan art to us over the last couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah. we got some very good stuff
yes.
that I'm very excited to share with you. So, thanks. First of all, to regular contributor, Mersey Marzipan, they sent in an awesome drawing of Steamy Dreamy, Freddy's Poopsie Surprise Unicorn Avatar, which is a very, very good drawing, and I'm petitioning Freddy to change it to his legal name.
Just yesterday, I made my first Great British Baking recipe with mm-hmm. me and my friend, and we made our own Marzipan.
Oh, well, there you go.
And it was delicious. We did a pretty good job.
It's kismet. Thanks as well to Jonathan W. Hubbins for submitting another really, really fun novelization of one of our movies. He did the Star Wars novel, Jar Jar Binks book by George Lucas called Foolish Triumphant Hero. So thanks to Jonathan for that. Thanks as well to Matilda Jereza. I hope I said that right. Give me one more. Jereza. I think probably Matilda Jereza. Okay. Thanks as well to Matilda Jereza for sending in a poster for Heaven Heist. Really cool kind of like 3D red and green
yes.
effect on it. It was super dope. And then we also got a very good Photoshop from Wilhelm _E at Twitter who put some of our last lightning round DVDs in a gas station
Ooh.
DVD rack.
Including Mission Impossible 2, too, which
yeah.
I really appreciate.
So they're all up there. This was very impressive. I was very happy that we're on the rack next to Bad Boys 2 and Point Break. You can find For Sale, Baby Shoes Never Worn, and Call of Duty Real, and Peter Pan, and Shrek 5, and Space Force, and of course, MI22. So thanks, guys, for submitting that fan art. Thanks as well to the Maximum Fun... I was going to say the Maximum Fun Story Break Network, but that's not how that's supposed to be said. Thanks as well to the Maximum Fun Network for having us on the network. Check out all their great shows like Story Break.
You want to pull up a Maximum Fun page?
Yeah.
Well, I started listening to Bubble, so give that a shot if you've heard of that.
Dude, hell yeah. Bubble's
big
super
podcast.
Good. Listen to Bubble. Listen to Jordan Jesse Go. Listen to Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. There's just, you can't go wrong.
Well, folks, that's going to do it for us this week. Now, you know, I feel like we should have a new sign-off.
What? Why?
Because it's a new year.
It's a new year, new sign-off, Matt.
Okay.
We should. You know what would be a really good sign-off? Because this is a movie podcast, tell people about a movie they should watch.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just
try
like,
that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do it. This is going to be fun.
Do you want to do a little bit of reasoning? Just be like, if you like blank, I feel like you want to give a little bit.
But I mean, people want to get out of here, Freddie. They're already checking their watches.
I already want to get out of here.
Yeah, we already want to get out of here. Let's just do it. You can try to hog the mic, but you might get interrupted.
I'm
going to
hog
that.
The mic.
Okay. All right. Ready, set. Okay, folks. That's been Story Break.
I'm Freddie Wong, and go watch Norsemen on Netflix. It's like The Office, but set in Norse times.
I'm Will Campos, and go see Mirai, the new Mamoru Hosoda movie. One of my favorite all-time directors from Japan. It's a fucking brilliant movie.
Did Summer Wars.
I'm Matthew Arnold, and go see Venom.
Venom, Venom, Venom.
The new music video by Eminem starring the song that was in that movie. What was the name of the movie?
Venom.
Venom, 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 Venom. Venom. Venom.
All right, thanks, guys. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
It's a podcast that we do as we are married. And how's the ad going so far? Because I think it's going very good.
We talk about things we like every week on Wednesdays.
One time Rachel talked about pumpernickel bread. It was so tight. You cannot afford to miss her talking about this sweet brown bread.
We also talk about music and poems and, you know, weather.
There was one...
Weather?
One time Rachel talked about Baby Beluga, the song, for like 14 minutes. And it just really blew my hair back.
So check us out on MaximumFun.org.
It's a cool podcast with chill vibes. Amber is the color of our energy, is what all the iTunes reviews say.
They will now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.